Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Excited to have an opportunity to share with you this morning. If you haven't been around much this summer, we are doing a series called Full, and that is based out of John 10:10, which says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so we are working through the seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. And so this today will be the fourth I am saying of our series. We've gone through, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep." And then today we will be talking about, "I am the good shepherd." And then the last three will be after today, which will be the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and "I am the true vine." And so it's been great so far. If you haven't had a chance to hear any of the messages, I encourage you to go to our website, lwchurch.ca. All the podcasts are on there. They've been really great and may actually help give a little more context to what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. So I'm going to begin today by reading to you John 10:11-16. It should be up on the screen behind me. If you have your Bible, feel free to follow along. And this is the scripture that we will be looking at this morning as we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd. So Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." I love the summer. Summertime's a great time. It's a chance for all of us to kind of change things up a little bit, take a bit of a break from the regular routine, and get to go do fun things. And one tradition that has started for me and my family in the summer is going camping, which isn't that uncommon. But I have three children, a 7, a 5, and a 3-year-old. And about 5 years ago, a friend of mine and myself, we decided, hey, let's go camping with our two oldest kids. Now, at the time, they were about three years old. And so it was fun. We went for only for one night because we were like, we don't know how this is going to go. And it went well. And so we kind of began this tradition every year of the dads taking the kids camping. And another dad ended up joining us in on this tradition. So there's three dads. And every year more kids started to get added. And so this, you know, simple idea started to become a little more complicated as the kids started to grow. And the amount of days that we went started to increase too. And so this year, actually, we're going to be going, and there's going to be three of us dads, and there's going to be, I can't even do my math, seven kids. So it should be interesting, but a lot of fun. But last year was the last time we did it, and we ended up going up to Manning Park because we were not responsible, and we didn't book on time for any close campsites in case there's emergencies. We're nice and close to home. So we settled for Manning Park. Even though it's beautiful, it is a little bit out of the way. And so there's three dads, and at that time, five kids, all under the age of 6, and no cell reception. So it was interesting. You know, we're all still alive, which is a good thing, but we had some victories. There were some fun times. There were some failures in the time together, including us trying to go fishing with the kids, and one of the hooks ending up in my hand. And so it was fun. We had a good time, but there definitely came a moment where we felt a little bit over our heads. We were at Lightning Lake, and if you know Lightning Lake, there's this big field, and there's beaches, and you can go canoeing, and it's really nice. And there's a bunch of I'm sorry, I don't know by nature, but I'll just call them gophers. There's something like a gopher, and there's a bunch of holes, and they run in and out, and the kids love chasing them, and it's a lot of fun. And so we're hanging out, and the kids were all chasing these gophers around. And there came a moment where someone's like, oh, where's Jacob? And we're looking around, and it's one of the younger ones in the group, and we just had no idea where he went. And it was like, I just saw him a second ago. He was there. And you got five kids running around chasing gophers, and, you know, next you know, probably one's in the hole with a gopher, right? And so, you know, if you've been a parent or even a child who's lost their parent, you have that moment where you're like, okay, did we just not see them, or do we actually have no idea where they are? And so slowly panic starts to set in, and you start to go, okay, we don't know where he is. And so we started just to like yell his name and started to go, where was he last? So he was just here. How could he have gotten so far? He was 3 years old. Like their legs aren't that long, right? So they don't have the land speed to just disappear that quickly. And so we just started to spread out, and some of the older kids started to run around yelling his name, and we were trying to figure out, could he have gone up that path? And it had to have been at least 10 minutes of us not knowing where he was. And his dad was running up the trails. One of us was at the parking lot entrance to like check cars and ask people if they'd seen anyone. It was scary, and we were definitely thinking, how did the mothers trust us with these children and let us do this? And so after a lot of worry and a lot of panic, what happened was that the boy's sister was yelling his name, and he responded from inside this giant tree bush type thing that he had crawled into following one of the gophers. And so this whole time he's just in this bush, and we're thinking he's long gone and joined, you know, some of the animals in nature for the rest of his life. And so he heard his sister's voice and called back, and elated, she called to us and, Jacob's here. And that's how we found him. And huge relief. Definitely glad that we didn't have to come home with one less child at the end of the trip, and also made a promise that we would never tell the moms about what had happened. I'm just kidding, we did eventually. So it was quite the moment, but it gets me thinking about the Good Shepherd and what a Good Shepherd looks like. In that moment, we did not look like good shepherds. We were not taking care of those kids as best that we could have, and not keeping track of them like a good shepherd would. And so I'm excited today to look at what Scripture teaches us about Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the characteristics that he brings as our Good Shepherd. And so, first of all, I just want to begin by kind of dipping back a little bit back into last week when Ryan spoke about Jesus as the gate for the sheep. And he did a great job describing how he protects us and brings safety and freedom to us. And just like the gate to the sheep, because the shepherd acts as the gate to the sheep, the good shepherd does bring protection to us, and his main role is to make sure that we are safe and that we are taken care of. And even Psalm 23, which does a great job describing the good shepherd, says, "Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." We have a good shepherd that loves us and wants to keep us safe. If we look at verse 16, it says, "I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." The good shepherd is inclusive and unifying. Jesus loves each and every one of us. It's so amazing how he describes the good shepherd and saying, you know what, I'm not just a shepherd for this one group of people. I am a shepherd for all. I love all, no matter who they are, what they've done, where they've been, what they believe. Jesus loves everyone. He came for everyone. He gave up his life for all. He is a God who loves everyone and is very inclusive in that love. And not only that, he brings unity. He says that there will be one flock and one shepherd. There's a unity that he brings with that as he loves us all and he is our shepherd and he guides us as his sheep. There's a unity. There's no scattering. There's no sheep going all over the place. Kids running away. Oh, sorry, I'm talking about sheep. I keep going back to that memory. Sheep running away. He brings them together and he gathers them and unites them. He is a God that brings unity. And how much does our world need someone like that? The Good Shepherd pursues us. He pursues us. Earlier we sang a song about the reckless love of God and how his love chases or leaves the 99 to go after the one that is lost. In Matthew 18, Jesus shares about the lost sheep. He gives a parable. He tells a story about a shepherd and his sheep and how one of the sheep goes off and wanders away. And what does that shepherd do? He leaves the 99 sheep to go for the one that is lost. He pursues the one that is lost. We don't serve a God that is just kind of up there and doing his own thing and kind of hoping everything down here is going all right. We have a God that pursues us and loves us. And if there's one that is lost and one that wanders away, he goes after them. No matter where you are in life, no matter what is going on, whatever decisions we've made, we have a God who is after us and wants us to draw near to him. He's pursuing us. And what I love the most about the parable of the lost sheep is that it says that when he finds the sheep, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. That, in my mind, shows a deep love that Jesus has for us. When that boy was lost, and we figured out where he was, the look on his father's face, like nothing you've ever seen, right? There, and it's not that he doesn't love his daughter as much as his son, but in that moment, when he found his son, there's a rejoicing. There's this appreciation for what you thought was lost, but now is found. And Jesus rejoices over us and we are found. He pursues us and he goes after us because he doesn't want us to be lost. He's willing to go out and do whatever it takes to find us and bring us into his family, into his sheepfold. And not only that, if we look at verse 14, we find that the good shepherd knows us deeply. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. The Good Shepherd knows us deeply. God created us. We are his workmanship. The Bible talks a lot about God as our Father. We are known by him like a parent knows their child. They watch them every day. They see everything they do. They've seen them grow from a baby to an adult. They know them. Every part of them, they know. The good shepherd knows us deeply. His love for us, because of the depth of that love, is unconditional. No matter what we do, he will still love us. It's a love that's committed. It doesn't waver. He doesn't just decide to love us one day and then not the other day. It is a committed love because he knows us deeply. It is also a caring love. A love where he wants to care for us and be with us in the toughest of times. He brings comfort. In Isaiah 40, it says that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. The good shepherd loves us deeply. And no matter what it is that we are facing in life, no matter how much hurt or pain we may be feeling, maybe how lost or anxious or worried we may be about the situations that we're facing in our life, we have a good shepherd who loves us and cares for us and wants to hold us in his arms. The good shepherd is unselfish. The good shepherd is self-sacrificial. He lays down his life for us. This is really the crux of the gospel. We have a good shepherd. Jesus is describing himself to us in this moment as the good shepherd and emphasizing the importance of his sacrifice for us. That he is willing and he does and he did lay down his life for us. He gave up his own life. That is a good shepherd, a shepherd that is willing to die for his sheep. And this is really what the gospel is all about. Jesus loves us deeply, like we've talked about, and he cares for us, but so much that he's willing to give up his life. We have a God that wants to be in relationship with us. And no matter what we've done, he was willing to take that for us. He was willing to take the punishment for our sins, to give up his own life and die for us so that we could find life. He's a shepherd that goes out and sacrifices his life for the safety of his sheep. And he's done that for us. And we find life. And that's what we're talking about in this series. We find life to the full. Jesus is saying that he has come to bring life to the full. And in order for him to do that, he has to give up his life for us. And for every single one of us, he has died for us, and we can find life. And not just life to the full here on earth, but eternally. We get to spend the rest of our lives with Jesus. And it's an exciting thing that we get to experience in that sacrifice. And you know, it's sometimes it's easy for us to hear that, and we've heard that. Many of us have heard that over and over again. Some of us today for the first time. But really, the sacrifice that he made for us is powerful. It's huge. And if we put that in the context of today, the first thing I can think of is something that actually has happened very recently in our world in the last month. And if you haven't heard of what happened in Thailand a few weeks ago, there was a team of teenage boys who were on a soccer team and their coach, 13 of them all together, that were exploring some caves in Thailand. And suddenly there was some flash flooding, monsoon rain came and trapped them in this cave. And they ran to high ground and realized that there was no way to get out. It took 10 days for anyone to find them and figure out where they were, and they were 4 kilometers from the entrance of the cave. And all of that was underwater. And so the only way for them to get out was for them to dive with scuba divers those 4 kilometers and come out. And when they first found these boys, they were in need of supplies, they needed food, medical help, they needed oxygen in order to get them back and out of the caves alive. And amazingly, they all made it out alive, which is incredible. But there was this one man, he was a former Navy SEAL, and his name was Saman Kunan. And he was one of the first people to try to get out to those kids to bring them supplies, and he was bringing them oxygen. And he was willing to risk the dangers of getting to these boys. And this isn't just like a scuba dive like you're in the coral reef in Australia. These divers are squeezing through spaces so small that they have to take their tanks off to put them through ahead of them. And so it's a very dangerous dive. And this man decided to risk his own life to get to these boys and to get them what they needed to survive. And he got them the oxygen, but unfortunately on his way back, he ran out of his own oxygen. And he was willing to do that. He was willing to say, these 13 lives are more important than my own. And I'm willing to risk that and even give up my own life to make sure that they have a chance to live. It is powerful. And there's a picture behind me of that man. And then the boys there in hospital with a portrait of him. And they actually didn't find out until quite a few days after they were rescued about what had happened. And this is the moment behind me that they found out. And it was very emotional. But the boys gave a great tribute because they'd been through all of what had happened. And the moment came when someone said, you know what? You're alive because this person gave their life up for you to have that life. And that is exactly the picture of what Jesus has done for us. He was so committed to make sure that we can live and that we can have life to the full that he was willing to give up his own life to make that happen. Lastly, the Good Shepherd guides us. We, in this picture, in this analogy, we are the sheep. And if you know much about sheep, sheep are interesting. Sheep get lost very easily. They're not always the smartest of the animals out there. In Isaiah 53, it says, "We like sheep have gone astray." So obviously sheep need a shepherd because they like to wander off. And so we have a good shepherd who wants to guide us. He wants to lead us down the path that he has for us. Psalm 23 says, "He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in paths of righteousness." The good shepherd has a path for us. He has a plan for our lives that is good, that is righteous. And when we trust him with our lives, and when we surrender our lives to the good shepherd and we follow him, good things come from that. Life to the full comes from following the guidance of the good shepherd. Sheep are kind of defenseless, to be honest. That's how I see sheep. I love to play with my kids and love to pretend that I'm some kind of a ferocious animal, whether it's a lion or we were at the water park yesterday and, you know, you put your hand over your head and you're the shark, right? And you're like, "Oh, the shark's gonna get you," and they scream and run out of the pool, right? When was the last time when someone went, "Ah, here comes a sheep, bah," right? No one, right? There's nothing scary about a sheep. They are quite defenseless. They aren't ferocious. They're not going to go out there and protect themselves. They need the protection of their shepherd. They need that guidance. They need to follow their shepherd to be in a place that is going to be safe for them because they're not going to protect themselves. In John 10:10, the verse right before what we've been speaking about today, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." We need the guidance of the good shepherd to bring us to the place where we find life and we find safety because the thief is out there. The world, the enemy, Satan is out there trying to speak lies to us and trying to draw us and guide us to places that won't bring us life. And so we need to make sure that we are following the good shepherd because we are constantly being bombarded with messages and with things from the world and from the enemy that are going to say, "No, no, no, this way is better. This path is better. Trust me, you're going to be okay. You're going to find life. You're going to find success. You're going to find good things here." But it's not the truth. It's a lie. The thief is deceiving. The thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That is not the path that we want to take. That is not a good path for us. We need to follow the path of the good shepherd. And also in verse 16, we see that it says, "They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd." They will listen to my voice. Earlier in this chapter, it also talks about the sheep knowing the voice of their shepherd. Ryan talked about this a little bit last week too. But in order for us to know where to go and how to follow our shepherd, for him to guide us properly, we need to know his voice. And how do we know his voice? His voice needs to be familiar. We need to spend time with him. When we were running around Manning Park looking for this little 3-year-old boy, the reason why we found him is because he heard a familiar voice. He heard the voice of his sister calling his name. And he called back because, "I know that voice. That's my sister." It's a familiar voice. Voices become familiar when we spend time with people, when we're in relationship with them, when we're constantly surrounded by them, and we're doing everyday, daily life with them. Whose voice do you know the best? I'm assuming that the names that come to your mind are people that you're with all the time and you know deeply. The good shepherd wants to know us, and he wants us to draw near to him so that we can know his voice. We need to spend time with him. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in his word. We need to desire his Holy Spirit to be working in us every day so that in those moments when we need to hear his voice, in the moments when we're being led astray and we need to figure out what choice do I make, what path do I need to go down, we hear his voice. In the times when we are lost, we hear his voice. Let's be a people that hear the good shepherd's voice, not only so that we can be drawn back to him, but also that we can do the things that he's calling us to do. What I find most interesting about this section of scripture that we're talking about today, it's five or six verses, but a large chunk of it actually is Jesus taking a moment to talk about what isn't a good shepherd. And he talks about the hired hand. And I'm going to read that for you right here. It says in verse 12, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I love this picture of the hired hand. I love that Jesus took a moment to say, I am the good shepherd. This is who I am for you. But also, this is the hired hand. This is what is the opposite of who I am for you. The hired hand is not committed, not there for you, for the sheep. The hired hand is selfish. They are only in it to get out of what they can get out of it, or the money or the payment. The hired hand also allows the sheep to scatter. The hired hand doesn't bring unity. They scatter because as soon as there's trouble, the hired hand is gone. And it's a great picture of really the things that we can get tempted into and even choose to follow in our lives, whether it's people that we choose to follow, ideas, possessions, the material, success, whatever that is. There's always things where we go, this is who I'm going to follow. This is what I'm going to go after. And this is what I believe is going to bring life to me, is going to bring full life to me. But many of those things will not bring the life that Jesus can bring to us, will not bring that full life. They will be like the hired hand, that when things get tough, when you really need something, they're gone. They're only going to bring so much joy and so much life, but it's just temporary. Jesus does not want us to be sheep that follow a hired hand. We do not find life that way. Instead, he's calling us to follow the good shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, we get this great picture of what that looks like compared to the hired hand. It's verses 11 and 12 and 16. And if you were here last week, you might remember that Ryan also talked about Ezekiel 34. And in the scripture leading up to what I'm about to read to you, the issue that was going on in the context of this scripture was that there were priests that were deciding that, you know, what I need and what I want matters more than the people that I am serving. And so they were being selfish. They were being very much like the hired hand and choosing their needs over the needs of the people. And they get called out about it, which Ryan mentioned last week. And so they get called out about it. And then we get this picture of what God is and how he is different than those priests, the hired hand in our lives. It says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. A committed shepherd, a shepherd that is there for his sheep and who brings unity and gathers them together instead of scattering them away. The good shepherd, he loves us. And these are the things that the word of God teaches us about who Jesus is. It's incredible. Like, studying this for me has just been so encouraging and such a great reminder of the God that we serve and such a great reminder that Jesus is good and he loves us and he is the best option in my mind. And we as Christians are called to share that. We are not just called to know that and embrace that like we are this morning and be reminded, encouraged by who the Good Shepherd is. We need to take that love that we've been shown and live that love out and show that love to others who we see every day. The love of the Good Shepherd is genuine, it's deep, it's compassionate, and it's for all people. And just as he loves us that way, we are called to love other people in the same way. With depth, with compassion, with authenticity, we are called to love all. Everyone is included. And this love comes with sacrifice. There are times when we need to get pushed out of our comfort zone. There are times when we are called to love those who are hardest to love. I know in my life there are sheep that I would not want to go after. There are, and we all have those people. But Jesus wouldn't even hesitate. And he gives a great example of what that love looks like. And if we go out in our everyday, if we go out and we love people like the Good Shepherd loves us, not only do they get to experience the love that Jesus has to offer and the hope and the life, the full life that he can give to them, they get to see who he is. We get to glorify God in the way that we love people. And that love, that powerful love lived through us, his sheep, can change the world. And that, yeah, it can. It can. It seems like a big statement, but it can. And something that I was actually very moved by and encouraged by a couple months ago was actually surprisingly watching the royal wedding. And just so you know, I did not stay up. PVR was what I watched it on. I'm not that hardcore. I don't love the royals that much. But I found myself watching this royal wedding with my wife. And there was a moment in that service where they had a man named Bishop Michael Curry share a sermon in the wedding service. And if you haven't seen this, you've got to look it up. Go on YouTube. You got to listen to it. It was incredible. He's an African-American pastor from Chicago who gave a message to millions and millions of people around the world that our world needed to hear. And it is about the love of God. And so I'm going to read it to you guys, not the whole thing, don't worry, but a piece of it that I found very powerful. And I don't think I could write myself. And so I'm going to read it for you. And I will not try to duplicate his power and passion either, because that's just not me, but I'll do my best. And so just listen with me as I read a few paragraphs to hear what he shared in that message. Jesus didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus did not get an honorary doctorate for dying. He didn't. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the good of the other, for the well-being of the world, for us. That's what love is. Love is not selfish and self-centered. Love can be sacrificial, and in so doing, becomes redemptive. And that way of unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love changes lives, and it can change this world. If you don't believe me, just stop and think and imagine. Think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and our families when love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive, when love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way,
we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all of God's children, because when love is the way, we actually treat each other well, like we are actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of us, and we are all brothers and sisters, children of God. My brothers and sisters, that's a new heaven, a new earth, a new world, a new human family. What an incredible picture of actually how this love can change the world. So as we wrap up today, let's remember and be encouraged by the love that the Good Shepherd has for us and the sacrifice that he made so that we can have life and have life to the full. Pursue him. Desire his guidance in your life. Desire to know his voice more and follow that path that he has for you. And take that full life. Take that love that you have been offered and you have been shown and share that with the world. Live that out in your everyday, because it changes lives. It really does. People need to know that love, and they need to know the sacrifice that Jesus made for them, that they can have life and they can have life to the full. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. God, let us not take it for granted, and let us know it more deeply on another level every day. God, we ask that we can know your voice more every day, and help us not to forget the sacrifice that you've made, the love that you have shown us, so that we can have life, so that we can have a life that you have planned for us, a good life. Not only here, but with you in eternity, God. And so I just pray, God, for anyone here this morning that hasn't experienced that love, that doesn't know that love, that hasn't had the chance to say and accept the love that you have shown them. God, I pray that you will make that love so real to them this morning, and that they will have an opportunity to make a choice and a decision to follow the Good Shepherd, and to make that choice to leave the hired hand to follow you, because you bring us life, God. I pray that your love will change us and move us in such a powerful way that we will go out and this world will see you and know you, that you will be glorified because of the way that we love, because of the way that we can share with other people and tell them about the Good Shepherd and how you lead us and how you love us and how you gave up your life for us, and that our world can be changed because of that. That love will be the way. We ask this in your powerful, loving, and mighty name, Jesus. Amen.